Seated. Good morning. For those of you here physically and those of you here virtually, welcome. Advent has started, first candles burning. Just a time of looking ahead, a time of waiting for Messiah. In days of old, they waited for the coming of Messiah, and he came. But we're waiting for him once again for that second coming, when he's going to make all things right, and I just can't wait. But there's a lot of work to do in the meantime. There's a lot of people that don't take it seriously, and a lot of people that we have the opportunity to reach. So anyway, today, Lord, let us feel your presence as we worship here today, as we honor and glorify you, Lord, because it's all about you. Amen. Let's start with our readings.
Our first reading is from Psalm 130, verses 5 through 8. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Our second reading is from James 5, verses 7 through 22. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Here ends the lesson.
Today's gospel, please stand for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he'll dress himself to serve. We'll have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It'll be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, as we await your second coming, let us be prepared. Let us be ready. And may these words, Lord, inspire us to be ready and to go out and do what needs to be done in advance of that coming. Amen. So waiting is what we heard about in that last song. Waiting, we heard about in the songs at the opening. And we heard about waiting in the readings here as well. Waiting. When I hear that, my mind goes back to my teenage years, and there was a song, "The Waiting is the Hardest Part." It's not often I would mention Tom Petty from the pulpit, but okay, there's on that one, it's appropriate for today, at least that part of that song. And the waiting is the hardest part. It's hard to wait for something. When you're eagerly expecting something, anticipating something. Think about a little kid just waiting for Christmas to come now. You know, we're getting into Advent. And you watch them, they're just, you know, how many days in the calendar, cross them off type thing. Or maybe they got their little Advent calendar there. So waiting for that. And the closer it gets, the more eager they get. The kids are just excited about that because they know when it's coming. But there's a difference here because we don't know when it's coming. And that's a different kind of waiting. If we knew the exact day and the hour, you know, we could make preparations and everybody be ready and it's all good. We have to be ready at all times. At all times. It's sort of like being a Minuteman or something like that. Remember the Revolutionary War? They had the Minutemen, and the call goes out, and they grab their rifles, they form up, and they're ready for battle. Same type of here. We're always ready. I can remember being in the National Guard, too, and always had my bags packed. Always ready. And one night, the phone call did come, and for some reason, the phone tree got messed up or something. This is way back before the internet and emails and all that, of course. But the flooding was getting really bad up in northwestern Minnesota along the Red River. And they said, okay, be at the Armory at 10 o'clock. And this is like 7 o'clock when I got the call. So Jill's giving me a haircut real quick while I'm writing out lesson plans at the same time. But I already had my bags packed, so I was ready. As soon as I got the haircut and the lesson plans, I was out the door, gone, because I was ready. And when you don't know, when you don't know when he's coming, that's when you have to be ready at all times. And that's what we're looking at here today, being ready all the time. Being ready is great. Think about students at school. They got a test coming up, and they prepare for it. The better, more prepared you are, the less stress you have. It's inversely proportional. If you don't prepare, you wait till the last minute, you know, then that stress is going to get higher. So the amount of preparation and the amount of stress, inversely proportional. I always tell my students to be ready. You know, study up the night before, really good, but don't overdo it, right? Just get it to the top of your head. And then right before the test, too, when I handed it out, I said, okay, I'll give you a little time to study, pray, or ask questions. I always give them that chance to pray in the classroom there, too. And, yes, some of them praying silently, but some of them you can tell that they're taking that seriously, too, which is wonderful to see. So waiting. We heard that in the psalm today. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. Waiting with your soul, with your whole being, right? Not just with your mind, but with your whole being. Waiting with your soul. Your soul is waiting. And in his word I put my hope. So in the meantime, we have his word, which gives us hope. If we didn't take this seriously, you're not going to have a whole lot of hope, right? In here, there's a lot of things. There's peace in here. There's joy in here. There's love in here. And there is hope in here. Again, if someone doesn't take this seriously, what hope do they have for their future? I don't know, it's pretty sad to me, knowing that they could have that hope. They could have that peace and that security and that sense of comfort, calm in any storm that comes, because you know that your future is secure. What a wonderful thing. I probably take it for granted too much. Just talking about it right now, it starts to come up to me again. Yeah, I don't give thanks for that enough. Okay, God, yeah, let's add that to the list of things that I don't stop and give thanks for, the list of things that I take for granted. Every once in a while, you get a little reminder, you know, like been blessed with good health, and every once in a while, you know, your health gets bad or something, and you sort of miss it, and you get that little thump upside the head. Okay, don't take that for granted, right? Thank God for it. Thank him for everything, right? In all times, in all seasons. So this waiting here is an eager and a positive kind of waiting. You got the opposite, too. You know, someone, well, let's take the extreme, sitting on death row, they're waiting also. But they're not waiting for a positive thing. They're waiting in dread rather than in a joyous expectation. That's not good. But yeah, when you're waiting for test results or something, you're in, someone you know is in the hospital and you're not getting those test results, you're waiting for the diagnosis, the not knowing. I think that's the toughest part. Once you know what you're dealing with, even if it's something bad, once you know what you're dealing with, now we can do something, we can take action. And being helpless, not able to do something, that is tough also, isn't it? If you can do something about it while you wait, that really helps. Keeps you distracted a little bit, I guess, in that way. But also, you're doing something positive. You're taking action. You have something that you can physically do. So yeah, my soul waits, in him word I put my hope, my soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. If you ever pulled watch, yeah, it gets long and boring. Trying to stay awake, pulling security if you're in the military or something. Maybe part of your job is just pulling watch. And it can get long. So, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love. Again, a wonderful reminder, his love does not fail. He's always there for us no matter what. Yeah, thanks God. And with him is full redemption. It doesn't say with him is redemption, full redemption, right? Completely redeemed. And then we ended the psalm there with he himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. talking about Jesus coming. You know, this is many years before that, but they're waiting for Messiah. They're waiting for the promised one, the leader, the one that's going to redeem Israel, the one that's going to lead them into victory. And it didn't play out the way they expected, of course. You know, they're expecting this great military leader that's going to come and free them from the Romans. And, well, he freed them spiritually is what he did. But he's coming back again, and then he will set all things right. So he redeems Israel from all their sins, not only Israel, but us who have been grafted in as well. We are part of God's family, we are God's children, and we have also been redeemed. Again, something we can't do ourselves. No matter how hard we try to live that perfect life, to be good enough to stand before God, can't do it. And that's where Jesus comes in, right? Taking on our sin, making us worthy, washing us white as snow so that we can stand in the holy presence of God. He made a way where there was no way. Our God is a way maker. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The waiting was echoed in James today as well. Started out, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. And that patience part, yeah, that's hard. We're waiting and trying to wait patiently. Waiting for healing, that's tough. I've been on the phone with some people that one healing from a back and hip type thing, another one healing from a cracked vertebrae, and all they can do is wait. They have no control over the situation. If you could make yourself heal faster, of course we would, right? I'd do whatever I could to make myself heal faster so I can get out there and doing things that I'd like to do again. But sometimes we have to be patient in the waiting. And that patience can be a gift from God. Maybe it gives us a chance to slow down a little bit if we've been going too fast and too hard. And in that patience, maybe we can spend time in prayer, meditation, time in the Word, and grow closer to God and get to know Him better, right? Get to know Him better. Not just know about Him. Again, that's the thing where you go to Sunday school, you know all about God, but do you really know Him? That's where it becomes personal. That's the matter of the heart, when you get to know God. And the more time you spend with someone, the better you get to know them, right? So spend time in prayer. Spend time in meditation. Spend time in reading. Spend time with Him, walking and talking with Him. Getting to know Him better. Living in relationship with Him. So that's one thing that we can do in the waiting. When we're trying to be patient, if we can't control the situation, but we can use that time for positive things, maybe to grow in faith. What a wonderful thing. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. Farmers, you always patient? Okay. But is there anything you can do about it? You're at the mercy of the weather. You're at the mercy of who knows what types of pests or bacteria or anything that could come in and ruin a crop. Some things you have no control over. Some things you can spray for, yes, and you can control, but the weather you can't. Having no control, that again, that's sort of a helpless feeling. I don't like that. I like to be able to do something about something. I don't like that helpless feeling, but yeah, watching your crops there and hoping that they're going well. Having no control, but still they plant faithfully. You know, planting takes faith. It does. I never really thought about that until Jill mentioned that when we were studying this last night. She says, still they plant faithfully. Planting those seeds faithfully, having faith that they will grow. And willing to accept whatever happens too, because sometimes there's going to be bad years, sometimes great years. It'll all balance out, of course. But it takes faith. It says, you too then be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. All right, being patient, that's something that we can do. It's not always easy, but it's standing firm, absolutely something that we can do. While we are patiently waiting, we do stand firm on the Word of God, no matter what. He is faithful. His Word is true. Stand firm in it. And again, in a loving way, when you're dealing with others, maybe don't believe it, but absolutely 100% stand firm. It says, because the Lord's coming is near. We don't know when, but mathematically, every day is a day closer. If we just wait 5 seconds, we're now 5 seconds closer. Fact. No two ways about that. We are closer. Yeah, we are closer. Okay. Again, when he comes, to make all things right. He comes in his glory. And if we're still privileged to be alive at that time, can you imagine? There's the sound of the trumpets coming down from the clouds everywhere simultaneously, and all these signs and take place, and woo! Yeah! I just can't wait to see that. But I'm a believer. For those that are not believers, when they see that, it's going to be probably a little too late to say whoops, unfortunately. I know, yeah, it sounds funny, but I mean, it's really sad for, everybody's had their chance. God extends this wonderful offer. If we want to accept it or not, depending on your theology, but yeah, absolutely. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if we repent, we give our lives over to him, then he will take us in. Your future is secure. Keep following him faithfully, and you can look eagerly towards that day. So stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you'll be judged. So live together in unity. Don't grumble against each other. It's always tough to see Christians in disagreement. Ideally, if we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, we're all pointed the same direction, we're all moving along the same path, albeit in different lanes, but we're all moving the same way. And we have chances then to cooperate with brothers and sisters in Christ of different, denominations or things like that, but if we're all moving that same way, but again, to stand firm and be faithful in that. If you're in that wrong lane, shift, for goodness sakes, right? Because some of those lanes are going to take an exit. And that's not good. When you see whole groups of people in denominations taking an exit, they were moving faithfully in that direction. And I guess the good thing about an exit, one of the good things, is if you accidentally take that exit, you get up to that light or that stop sign, what can you do? You can go across and get on that on-ramp back on, can't you? There is a way. God is faithful. Some people take that exit and then they depart in different directions, but sad to see. And there's those that are leading them that way too, and that's even worse. So yeah, stay on that path, right? And do it in unity, as it said here. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door, okay. The prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord, they also persevered. They went through incredibly tough times. You read through the Old Testament prophets, the way they were treated, not good. The way they lived, it was tough, but they were faithful and they persevered. So again, perseverance, that's something that I admire too. You hear those stories of perseverance. Someone against overwhelming odds, but they keep on going. Many movies, many novel plots involve that perseverance. And that's great, right? So persevere, stand firm and persevere. The great commands here. Alrighty. And the Lord is full of compassion and mercy is how that part of the reading ends. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Full of it. A good thing. Willing to extend that compassion and mercy to anybody who will repent and turn to him. But not all will. And not all are prepared, as we heard in the gospel today either. All right, be dressed, ready for service, keep your lamps burning. Okay, having your bags packed, being ready to roll. Like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet. So when he comes and knocks, they didn't know when it would be. When he comes, they can immediately open the door for him. They are ready, they are prepared. And then verse 37, which is humbling. You'll be good for those servants who the master finds watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. That is so backwards, and that is so Jesus. Washing the feet of his disciples. Same type deal here. You're invited to this heavenly banquet, but it says that he will dress himself to serve. He's going to be serving us, having us recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. I don't feel right about that. I'd rather be serving Jesus. But the example he sets with compassion, with mercy, and with love is summed up here. His whole earthly existence during those 32 or so years. Serving others, healing others, being there for others. Not othering others, but joining with others. And bringing others in. and restoring them. That's Jesus. And I don't know that I'll feel right. I remember some years ago, we were worshiping over at the community center, and it was Holy Week, and Pastor Becky said, well, let's do a foot washing. So all of us deacons, we got together, and we got bowls of water, and we washed people's feet when they came, and if they were comfortable with it. It was a very humbling deal. But what was even more humbling was when someone washed my feet. It's easier to serve than to be served, is my observation on that. And here we have God himself dressing to serve and waiting on us. Following up, it'll be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. Could be in the middle of the night, who knows? Maybe we'll wake up the trumpets tonight. 2 a.m. or something. I don't usually like getting up at 2 a.m, but for that I will. Okay, for that I will get up. And yeah, we don't know the day nor the hour. You think about that, we always think about it as happening while awake during daylight, and you know, the sky lights up and you see it happening. No, for half the people in the world, it's going to be at night. I mean, do the math, right? For half the people in the world, it's going to be at night. And there's going to be this great rejoicing with us and some, I don't know, consternation with others. But we don't know when it's coming, all right? That's what it says here. We don't. If you knew the hour the thief was coming, you would not your house be broken into. You would be, everybody would be prepared. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. So I would encourage you to live prepared, to have your bags packed and ready. If you're going to go on a trip, you pack your bags and you get ready. But here we should have our bags packed all the time, because you never know when you're going on that trip. And we're all going on that trip. And it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a joyous occasion. But in the meantime, living prepared has other benefits too. If you're prepared, your stress and your worry is down, just like studying for that chem test, right? You're prepared, you don't have to worry as much, okay? We know our future is secure with God. We can let go of the worry. Living prepared, we can be more content. And that ties right in with that worry. Or the freedom from worry, the freedom from it. Living prepared, we can be joyful as we wait. We wait in joyful expectation. Again, we're not dreading this, right? We are joyfully awaiting it. By living prepared, we can be confident. We know our future is secure. By living prepared, we have hope. Not only for eternity, but for this life as well. By living prepared, we have hope. By living prepared, we are ready for whatever comes. So be prepared and encourage others to be as well. Because we don't know the time, we don't know the hour, but hey, it's going to happen. Amen.